Can everybody please stand for the pledge? Please remain standing for a moment of silence. All right, thank you. I will now turn it over to Dr. Graham for the superintendent's update.
Thank you, Ms. Slattery.
I feel like it's been a long time since we've had a board meeting. Welcome back, everybody. I have a couple of items that I just wanted to share with the community that have been taking place throughout the district over the last several weeks. If you haven't been in the schools, you wouldn't know. But if you're in the schools, you'll see that they are abuzz with awards ceremonies and concerts, athletic competitions. I think we have a couple of students still participating in track for the state championship this weekend. A couple of girls from East, but there continues to be a ton of things going on. And as always, I'm going to make a plea to all of you to visit our website, check us out on our social media pages, and see some of the good things that are taking place throughout the district. Just to highlight a couple of those that I think deserve highlighting, is this week we had the North Disability Awareness Ceremony, and the teachers at North did tremendous work with the students. The students spoke about their disability to an audience of, it was standing room only, that's for sure, but the stories of perseverance that our students shared were tremendous. I also wanted to thank, and I see Dana Platon here, I wanted to thank the council PTA for their work with Sports Night. Sports Night, you know, has gone through a couple of iterations. I think we're calling this Sports Night 2.0 at this point. Sports Night used to be in the gym. It was four nights. Then it shifted to outside at the football fields, and there was an East feeder pattern. Then there was a North feeder pattern. I think we're at the point now where we had Sports Night this year. Unfortunately, it was on a rain date, so that may have impacted participation, but we had Sports Night out at the North Field last Friday, and it was a great time, and it was really nice to see. But the most important part of Sports Night is the money that the PTA raises for scholarships for our seniors, and I think Dina is going to speak about it later, but there were, I forget the exact number, it was $5,500 scholarships raised for our graduating seniors. So thank you to everyone involved with that. Our students at the secondary buildings are gearing up for the end of the year exams. Believe it or not, we're at that point. And I'm going to now pass it over to Nick and Kaylee. I hope I didn't take the things you guys were going to talk about.
Okay. You got Dr. Graham, no worries. I hope we're all doing well. It has been a while. I do feel like we haven't been in this room in a minute. Safe North has had a bunch of things going on, as Dr. Graham recapped. Last week, we had our Triumph on Art Honor Society inductions, and the night following that, we had our jazz, string, and vocal ensembles have their spring concerts. I also found out that our select vocal ensemble received the gold at NISMA Majors, which is an incredible accomplishment, so congratulations to all of them. And congrats to any of the students who were recently inducted. On last Thursday night, our juniors had their junior banquet, which was a great success. We had a majority of the junior class at the Watermill. Everyone was dancing. It was a great time. And last night, we had our seniors awards night, which was a great event where we got honored for our accomplishments and awarded some scholarships. And thanks goes out to the administrators and board members who attended. We appreciate you being there. Yeah, sorry it was a long day. Believe me, I was in the front row. I was standing out there. Thank you, guys.
Hello. I would first like to congratulate all the new Board of Ed members. I wish you all lots of luck next school year. We are actually in the midst of our own student government elections, and I just want to note how impressed I am with all the students running for office. This campaign season has been very competitive, and the new potential officers have tons of bright ideas, from therapy dogs to biodegradable lunch trays and music during passing time. We actually have one of the candidates here today to talk about making our school more green, which I'm all for. In addition, we have many students painting environmental-themed murals throughout the building, so it's great to see all the new initiatives taking place in Sachem. And last, I want to give a big thanks to Sachem and all it's provided me for the past 13 years, and especially the last year as student government president. I truly don't believe I would have gotten these experiences anywhere else, and the faculty and administration is honestly unmatched. I'm so grateful to be part of the Sachem community, and I can't wait for this next chapter. Thank you.
Well, Kaylee, I hope you're still coming to the next board meeting, right? All right, because we do honor our retirees, and I think not that you and Nick are retiring, but you're part of that group who will no longer be frequenting board meetings. So thank you to the both of you. I also wanted to just thank Kelly Short, who was running around at Sports Night also, and making my kids, all my children were there, and they became judges, I think, as a result of being there along with many of the board members. So this evening, as a part of the superintendent's report, one thing we're going to do is we have our administrators from the Office of Student Services, which is our special ed department, and they're going to make a presentation and just give sort of a 30,000-foot overview of our special education program. And the reason that they're doing that this evening is you'll notice that on the Board of Ed agenda, there's a resolution to adopt the special education plan. And so as a part of that, prior to asking the board to adopt that and certainly for our community to hear that, they're going to present and just give you some information on our special education program. So I'm going to invite Sue Tuttle, Liz Tucci, and Beth Caruana. And Sue, of course, is our executive director of the Office of Student Services, and Beth and Liz are our assistant to the coordinators for student services. Excuse me.
Good evening, President Slattery, Vice President Roberts, members of the Board of Education, Dr. Graham, members of the Cabinet. My name is Susan Tuttle. I'm the Director of Student Services, and as Dr. Graham said, I'm here with Ms. Tucci and Ms. Caruana, my assistants. This evening, we are seeking the approval of the district plan, and so we're going to go through an overview of that product. We have highlights that of some of the required components of the district plan. In addition, we provided you with some updates on the initiatives within the Office of Student Services. So the first slide just outlines the requirements of the district plan as per the regulations. And we're going to be going through components of this through the presentation. Next, we have the program philosophy, which is a requirement. And down below, we have the objectives. The objectives, which really identify the process that the Committee on Special Education is required to take at a CSE meeting, giving consideration to the least restrictive environment and utilizing the continuum of services. Next, we've identified the 13 classifications. So in order for a school-age youngster to receive special education services, they do need to meet one of these classifications. So we've provided them for you.
Slightly out of order. Just going to skip ahead and we'll skip back.
Okay. Next, we have provided the October snapshot data. So within the district plan, we are required to provide 1 year of data. However, for this evening's presentation, we have provided you with information from 2016, 17, and 18. This identifies students by classification who required special education services. And this information is taken, that snapshot data is taken on Beds Day, which is the first Tuesday in October. Next, within the district plan, they ask for you to refer to the data by looking at the least restrictive environment and giving consideration to how much time a child can spend in regular education. So this identifies youngsters between the ages of 4 and 5. The next slide shows you students from ages 6 to 21. So on the top of that screen, it identifies the students have spent 80% or more in general education. Then going through the continuum, the most restrictive setting would be students who are homeschooled, and then they identify students who are parentally placed at the bottom of the screen.
I'm going to just hop ahead and then we'll go back.
We also have provided the October snapshot of youngsters who are placed out of district. This would include students who are attending a BOCES program or approved private or residential programs, and also other public schools for the last 3 years. Then we have our preschool data. This is reflecting students ages 3 and 4 for the last 3 years.
It's going backwards. My apologies.
It's okay, there I'm following go. Along with you.
Okay.
This information identifies the total of total number of students who are classified by building effective May 22nd. So we've identified our 10 elementary schools, the 3 middle schools, the high schools, and also our youngsters who are placed out of district and parentally placed students. This is a current snapshot of our students who are placed out of district. We have other public schools, BOCES, both private and residential programs included.
I'm going to go back to the continuum.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what happened is I sent the first version to Allison, and now that's what we're doing, is looking at the first version. So there were some slide changes. The version that you had, and I apologize, it's not Sue, Liz, and Beth. So once we post that on the website in the morning, you'll see the version that you have in paper in front of you. So it's going to miss the last slide also, guys.
Okay, so this slide indicates the continuum of services, and it identifies the options that we are able to offer children who attend the Sachem School District. Starting the least restrictive environment, we have youngsters who may require consultant teacher services, related services including speech, occupational therapy, physical therapy, services from a teacher of the hearing impaired, or vision services, or counseling support. We have some youngsters who require consultant teacher resource room, the integrated co-teaching program. We have a number of special class options. And then we have students who may require out-of-district programs, including BOCES, private and residential. And then the most restrictive would be students who will require home instruction or hospital instruction. This sheet identifies our current special education staffing, identifying director, assistant coordinators and supervisors, our psychologists, social workers, elementary special education teachers, secondary special education teachers, teacher assistants at both the elementary and secondary level, speech therapists, teacher of the hearing impaired, teacher of the visually impaired, orientation and mobility, individual aides, assistive technology, and our clerical.
And we don't have that last one. Do you want to speak to our initiative?
Okay. So recently, we had participated in a special education quality assurance least restrictive review. We had a representative from the state education department had come in and had completed a review of our practice when it comes to our CSEs. They'd observed 10 CSE meetings and then provided us some feedback afterwards. We provided them samples of our IEPs and our paperwork, the prior written notice that goes with that process. The feedback was very positive, and it represented our CSE meetings at the elementary, middle, and the high school level. But as an outcome of that, they did identify that we need to continue to work on professional development for our staff, that all folks understand the CSE process and the programs and services that we offer here within the school district. So that'll be one of the initiatives for the upcoming school year. This year, we have spent a tremendous amount of time working on IEP development. We've been utilizing the Regional Special Education Training Specialists through BOCES. They've provided training to our staff on IEP development, observable and measurable goals, and data collection. In addition, we've done some follow-up workshops where Jocelyn Stone, our technical assistant, has been providing staff development to folks, providing a little bit more in-depth training with those IEP goals. In addition, we had a representative from the RSC task again to come in to help us prepare for indicator number 13. So each year, there's a different quality indicator that the district is required to report out on. For the upcoming school year, we'll be discussing transition within the IEP. So this would be students age 14 and higher Within the IEP, we have to identify their goals and how their education is supporting their future goals when they leave us. In addition, we have been looking at some additional in-district vocational training opportunities with the support of Ms. Hines. We have a fabulous lab that we're going to be putting together for our students up at High School North that we're really looking forward to the training and the support we're going to get with that. We also had the IDEA grant fiscal monitoring review had come in, so we've been working with the business office to come up with appropriate procedures outlining how we prepare our grants. In addition, we have reached out to a consultant group to provide us some feedback to enhance our 813 program, which is working with our children with autism. This is a program that is growing, and so we're looking for feedback that we can share with our staff. And the last item that I have identified for this evening is that we are continuing to grow with our reading programs. Again, with the support of Ms. Hines, we're doing a pilot with the Read 180 program, and our special education staff will be participating with that as well.
Thank you. I apologize again for messing your pages up. The final email came from Liz. The initial came from Sue, and I sent Sue's forward. Sorry about that. But thank you for the presentation, and I guess at this point this would be an opportunity if there were any questions from the Board of Education.
Okay. First of all, as the parent of a special ed student, I would like to thank you guys for your hard work, because it does show. Two questions I had for you. When you do get feedback, do you ever reach out to the parents for feedback?
For programming?
For pretty much everything with special ed. Do you ever?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And the other thing was the review of the 10 CSE meetings. Were they 10 random, or were you kind of prepared in knowing which 10 it would be?
They were random. We had to provide the regional associate just with dates, and mm-hmm. then she got back to us and told us when she was coming.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anybody else have questions? Okay. When you mentioned the labs, what type of labs were you talking about?
The PAS lab. There's a... there's a company that will set up different, like, stations within a classroom environment to teach different vocational skills for our population of students that are cognitively and developmentally delayed, so, like, pre-vocational skills.
Okay, Sue, I have a couple questions. Thank you for the presentation. With our change in elementary day, and so now the new social-emotional period, what type of professional development is going to be offered to the special education teachers? Is it going to be something different or something along the same lines as our general ed teachers for that period?
I'm not sure.
They'll be included with the general education, so they'll be getting the same access.
So the students will have the same access in our special education program as the gen ed students. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, the visitors that we have are all going to be for the end of the meeting because they're not dealing with something on the agenda. So we'll move forward with the agenda. Consent agenda for business items 3A1 through 3B2. May I please have a motion? Meredith. Second. Bill. Any questions? Dorothy.
Okay, so my first question is for one of the bid items, 3A1. So, John, it's letter P for the capital improvement program, the underground fuel oil tank replacement. So I saw on that, I think it was around $1 million or maybe a little bit over that.
The total bid is $771,000.
Okay. So that's just part of, that's a bid that went out. So when we start doing the work, I guess my question is, can you just kind of explain what we're doing?
Sure. This is the final capital project that was part of this year's 18-19 budget that the voters approved last May. So one of the items we're replacing are the three steel fuel tanks back at the transportation yard. We'll be taking those three tanks out. We'll be replacing it with one 16,000-gallon tank, and then we'll be repaving the forward third of the bus yard. So that is along with the project where we're doing a partial roof at Waverly, and we're also doing the pool pump and filtration system over at North.
And when are they going to be doing the fuel tanks?
The construction will start the day after school ends.
Okay.
They're waiting for it.
Okay. Thank you. And
you're
I
welcome.
Had one other question as far as the item number 3B1, which is the treasurer's report.
Okay.
So in going through the treasurer's report, there was an area in there as far as custodial overtime. And I just wanted to see, as far as the overtime, each school had listed overtime. I think there were some that did not. But how does that happen with the overtime? I know that there's different schedule changings and personnel changes.
Yeah, I mean, in general, the most common reason, obviously, is people always think of snow. Snow is a big one for overtime. This year, we didn't have snow. At the end of this summer, we did have that weather anomaly. So most of the buildings did require a full re-cleaning again, so there was a lot of overtime used in late August, early September over the Labor Day holiday to start off the school year with the cleaning of the buildings. Throughout the year, there's an ongoing unfortunate problem with getting substitutes when there are absences, so it usually requires people to do additional shifts for overtime. You'll have people that are out on workers' comp, long-term disability, administratively reassigned, whatever the circumstance is, so certain shifts have to be filled, and sometimes they can only be done with overtime.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Personnel items. Consent agenda for personnel items 4A1 through 4B1. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Ms. Slattery, if you don't mind, I will interject at that point. This evening for item 4A5, we're appointing a number of probationary teachers. We have Greg Bosch, Nick Fierro, Dana Kolb, Michael McCarthy, and Amanda Stallone. I just asked if they could stand for a moment. They've just been appointed to probationary positions. I think it's important to note that within that group, we do have three of those individuals who are SACHM alum. So welcome back to all of you. And certainly, as is the case with any appointment to a probationary position, we just remind you, and I met with the majority of you through your interview process and told you that this is a great responsibility for you. And we expect that you'll take that very seriously. You've made it through a pretty rigorous process to get to this point. And there are a lot of people here within SACHM to support you and to help you be successful. So don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to reach out to your colleagues, to your administrators, to the people at this table. So welcome and congratulations. I'd also like to just take a moment for item 4A7, and we had a number of individuals who received tenure effective, let's see, all of them are on effective September 1st. The appointment went through today. And we have Christine Bischoff, Alexandra Devine, Bonnie Faust, Gina Killeran, Kristen Macarone, Christine Marino, Caitlin Perry, Ryan Murphy, and Grace Tobin. And I know we have a number of those individuals. I see some of you. If you don't mind just standing as well. And congratulations to you. And actually, we ask that the tenure recipients, if you don't mind, come into the front and we'll take a picture with the Board of Education.
Laura, can I follow up to Dr. Graham's little speech he just did? I just think it's great when the rigorous process that these kids go through, or now young adults, to become teachers here at Sachem, it's great when it's a Sachem kid that proves himself to be the best. Because we have a lot of out-of-district people now that are administrators, and they've made it very clear that they're selecting the best candidate for the job. And it's great when a Sachem kid becomes a Sachem teacher.
Okay, we are on page 13, consent agenda for support staff, 4C1 through 4C9. May I please have a motion? Larry, second. Jimmy, any questions? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. Don't confuse me, Ken. We are now on page 16, action items. Consent agenda for action items 511 through 5145. May I please have a motion? Mike. Second. Bill. Any questions? Dorothy.
Dr. Graham, I had a question about 5114, or not really a question. If you can just explain the SCO program, it's in 5114 and also 5115. I know one of them is the summer education services.
Sure. As people are grabbing clumps of pages, right, because there was a large number of agreements that appeared in the consent agenda, so that's why it seems like we just glossed over a large number of agreements, but these are agreements that are really in preparation of the 1920 school year, so those are all outlined within that consent. But the question that Ms. Roberts has is on item 5114 and 5115. That's a summer enrichment program in 5114. It's a half-day program. And what we had heard was that there were some community members who said that, well, a half-day enrichment program was very difficult for them because of work schedules and that kind of thing. So 5115 is the approval of an agreement for child care that the parents and families would pay for that can extend that day so that they can accommodate their schedules.
Any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Page 28, we're on page 28? Yes. Okay, we'll just backtrack.
On page 24, item 5132, just the renewal of the software program. Mr. O'Keefe, that software program for the ECAF, for the extracurricular activity accounts, what exactly does that do, or in what way do we use that?
That's the way the central treasurers in each building keep their ledgers.
Okay.
So when you get your monthly report, that's what it's coming from.
So it comes from that software program?
When it comes from that software, yes.
Okay. And then it's compiled, and then it's sent to us.
Right. Well, the claims auditor reviews it, compiles it, and then I think you only get a full detail report quarterly, and obviously at the end of the year you get a full financial statement.
Right.
That financial statement is generated from that software.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And John, I ask you this one all the time, but it's for 5144 as far as the approval for the TAN, the tax anticipation note. So that's going out. I just wanted to know as far as the interest rate on that.
Well, it'll get shopped probably in late August or early September. I mean, interest rates are a little bit higher this year than they were a year ago.
Right.
But it'll be competitively bid. The board is just authorizing a maximum amount of $100 million. We haven't borrowed anywhere near that much in recent years. If you go back several years when we were a little tighter, we did borrow as much as $78 million. In this current year, we borrowed $59. And just for the audience who may not understand what the TAN is, the voters approved the budget in May. We start the school year in June. Our only real revenue is property taxes and state aid. Your property taxes don't start reaching the district until late December, early January. And state aid doesn't start flowing until late in the fall. So basically the district operates many months during the start of each school year with actually no cash flow. So all districts borrow a certain amount of money for that cash flow to get them through those months before those payments start coming in. We borrow the short-term money, and then we pay it back each June. So that's where the TAN is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 28, consent agenda for donations 521 through 526. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Mike, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 29, district plan 531, approval of district plan for special education. May I please have a motion? Meredith, second. Larry, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on 541, policy review, first reading, no action required. Dr. Graham, would you like to explain that?
Yeah, I'm actually going to just pass it over to Mr. O'Keefe for a moment, but normally our cycle for policy review is the policy committee meets to review a batch of policies. Then those policies will appear before the board for a first read, and that's the opportunity for the board to put comments in on that policy. And then the board will see that policy again at the next board meeting for the second read and then for adoption. This one did not go before the policy committee. We haven't had a policy committee. There was a meeting that was canceled, and that actually was supposed to be our last one for the year. So we haven't met as a policy committee. But this is a policy that there was some changes with federal guidelines and grant purchasing that we needed to make sure that our policy adhered to. So I may have done a good job already.
You actually really recapped it. I mean, the changes in the policy are regarding expenditures related to federal grants. So basically the necessary edits were done by district council and forwarded to us for our review. We've gone through it from our side. I know we spotted a couple of little edits that we'll be making for the next read. But it's primarily it needs to be done as part of that audit Ms. Tuttle mentioned earlier. It'll be part of our corrective action plan showing that we've got this policy in place to meet those new guidelines.
All right.
So there's no action necessary at this point. This is for the board's review. Certainly the community, it'll be up with the agenda on our website as well, and it'll be there for anyone's review or light reading.
Okay. Thank you very much. 551, approval of budget transfers. $50,000 or greater. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Mike, any questions? Go ahead, Dorothy.
Mr. O'Keefe, can you just explain the budget transfer, please?
This is actually a small one for this time of the year, but two primary things. We had a large number of SETA retirements, so some of the monies are being moved from some excess funds we had in workers' compensation to fund retirement separation payments. And the other item is related to that other bid that was on the collection of bids that you authorized at the beginning of the meeting. The one bid you discussed was for the tanks. The bid directly below it was for the restoration of the rest of the parking lot and the addition of some drainage. The transportation parking lot is in very, very poor condition. Our initial capital project only really spoke to handling the issue we had with the EPA, which was the requirement to replace the tanks, but I have identified some monies within the budget that I've shared with you in a memo. It's the moving of those monies to accommodate that additional paving work and the ground boring and architectural engineering, things of that nature.
Any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 561, recommendation from Committee on Special Education. Motion, Meredith, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 6A1, determination from the Committee on Preschool Special Education. Motion, Larry, second. Dorothy, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now going to go to the Board of Education subcommittees, the Sachem Legislative Committee.
They had a meeting last week. I was not able to attend that meeting, but I did speak with the chairperson, Krupa, and so they went over a couple of different things in the meeting, and Kelly, you were there as well. So there's different items that are coming down as far as some legislation from Albany, and I think they had gone over some of that in the meeting as well, but, and Kristen, you were there too. So there's different things that we're discussing on the legislative committee, and we also get some recommendations at times from the board and from the superintendent. So we'll continue to discuss that. There are some things in legislation that are coming down that the legislative committee will address.
Thank you. Now, for the audit committee, do you want to give that?
So the audit committee met last week, and the week before? And what we did was we met with the different auditors, the internal, external, and claims auditors. And in the packet tonight, actually, we approved the auditors. So it's in there, and Mr. O'Keefe was with us during that meeting. So, and we did go over one of the audits, too, in the previous meeting. The week before, actually, we had two.
Yeah, we had back-to-back meetings.
We did.
At the next board meeting, you'll actually be presented with the final report that the audit committee reviewed, as well as the corrective action plan to adopt.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the budget advisory committee, I would like to call Nick Fucci up to please, you can make sure the mic is on and give us an update on budget advisory.
Sorry about that. Good evening, Mrs. Slattery, Dr. Graham, members of the Board of Education, and the Central Administration. My name is Nick Fucci, and I'm the chairperson of the Budget Advisory Committee. I'm joined tonight by Kristen Gelinas, for another committee member. For those in attendance that aren't aware of the Budget Advisory Committee, does we're a group of community members that meet under the guidance of Board Member Meredith Volpe to investigate topics that can have an impact on the district. During our meetings this school year, we've brainstormed many topics, but one topic has garnered most of our attention. The Sachem School District is one of the few districts on Long Island that still operates 8-period days for middle school and high school students. The vast majority of the districts on Long Island schedule 9 academic periods for students 7th through 12th grade. We'd like to formally request the Board of Education approve the necessary steps needed to investigate a 9-period day and implement it for our students in middle school and high school. We believe that a 9-period day can have a great impact on all Sachem students. This includes some of our special education students that struggle to fit required classes into their schedule because of periods of reteach. This can also impact gifted students looking to enhance their education with AP classes or electives. 9 periods can also help the students that are interested in art or music or looking to take advantage of one of our great BOCES programs. A 9-period day will keep our students on par with other students on Long Island, and it will create additional opportunities for all of the Sachem students. We want to thank you for this time to address this matter, and we hope to answer any questions or provide any additional information that we can to help this get put into place for the upcoming years.
Dr. Graham, you want to respond?
And yeah. Then we can. Well, thank you, Nick and Kristen. I know that and certainly Meredith, I know the Budget Advisory Committee has been, batting around some ideas. I think that the board would certainly, and I'm not going to speak on behalf of the board, but I think that the board could certainly, ask the administration to pursue this issue a little bit further and look into it, and then we could bring some information to the Budget Advisory Committee. So in the past, just for, there's some different faces here, in the past, the Budget Advisory Committee had been a group that would make a recommendation, and it usually would come well into the budget development process, right? So the committee would make recommendations to the board after the administration had worked to present a budget, and sometimes those were too late. And so what we talked about doing over the past several years is really putting the Budget Advisory Committee on almost like a multi-year cycle so that they could begin work in one school year, and really for something to be implemented, it would have to be a recommendation to the Board of Education probably in the wintertime for next year. And so certainly that's something that we could start the process of looking into.
I would just like to go around and ask board members, Sarah, how, Larry, Meredith, Dorothy, Bill, Jimmy, Mike. Okay, so the board will direct administration, but we would like the Budget Advisory Committee to look towards. Oh, sorry. I didn't see you, Kayla.
Would the plan be to shorten the periods, lengthen the school day, or a combination of the two?
So, Kaylee, I think that there are probably a million questions that go unanswered with a suggestion like that. So now our steps are to begin to explore those. So some of them would be the length of period. Some would be, you know, there's a whole host of issues that certainly would be associated with that, that we would then be charged, and it seems like we are now charged, with doing some further exploration. And just, again, for people's benefit and for knowledge, this doesn't mean that a nine-period day is going to affect. This means that the Budget Advisory Committee has made a recommendation to the Board of Education. The Board of Education has now asked the district administration to look into this further. So this will take a lot of heavy lifting moving forward now. And hopefully we'll have to address some of those issues that you brought up.
Thanks for your input, Kaylee. And thank you very much. You made excellent points. I appreciate the work. The next is the Policy Committee. And as Dr. Graham said, we're still trying to schedule a meeting that we can get to. And prior to tonight's meeting, we had two very important meetings, the Health and Safety Committee meeting and the Wellness Committee. I tried to split my time into both meetings and was, quote, the beginning of one, the end of the other. So what I've asked is Ms. Hines and Dr. Morrow, if they could just give a general update as to what went on in both meetings today. Thank you.
At the Health and Wellness Committee meeting, we went through the security upgrades that we've had this year. There have been many, from the beginning of the vestibules that we've started to blue lights to addition of security guards and a whole myriad of things. So we went through that. It was the last meeting for us for the year, so we were doing a little bit of wrap-up and a little bit of planning for next year. You know, we went through the upgrades. We talked about the blue light system, which we have both in and out of our building. One of our focuses last year was our perimeter security. So we've paid a good deal of attention to perimeter security this year. One of the areas that we've focused on is notification outside. So our exterior blue light system for lockdowns allows people on the fields to know a lockdown without hearing sirens, alarms, because typically during games you can see but you can't hear a lot of those things. We got an upgrade from the Health and Wellness Committee, which I won't go into because Ms. Hines will after. And then we talked about access control and meeting structure for next year. And then we decided on a couple of focuses for our work for next year. One is to look at and possibly create a plan for the district on training more of our faculty and staff in the Stop the Bleed program and providing resources for them to be able to have at their access materials that our nurses say have now, and they've all been trained, so that it's more available to more people around the district all the time. And then we also talked about looking at procedures and practices for general cleanliness and upkeep of our building. You know, so that's where we were today.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Martin. You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Lowry, for giving us some time to share about this. Before I kind of go into it, I do want to just thank both you, Ms. Volpe, Ms. Short, Mr. Fusi, and then our administrators who have given their time each month to really craft everything that we do. We get bogged down a lot of times in the running of our district, but at the heart of it, we must always remember that we're here to instruct our students. And so I'm really proud of the achievements that we have been accomplishing each year. As far as our administrators go, I want to thank Ms. McEntee. She's our assistant director for athletics. Ms. Caruana, who you heard from before, our assistant director for OSS. And then our instructional directors, Ms. Moran and Ms. O'Doherty. And then lastly, our new social-emotional learning chair, Mr. Chiaramonte. They've been very instrumental in the work that we're doing this year. So this year we just wrapped up. I'm sorry, I have like very short arms. Let me pull this back a second. This year we wrapped up with our 18-19 goals and what we were charged with, which included our social-emotional learning programs, our upgrades that we are looking to make to our CTE programs and our business alliance. We also worked on upgrades to our physical education and health units, primarily at the high school, to focus more on personalized fitness. We also were charged with enhancing project-based learning across the district, but I don't want to give away too much or steal our thunder because our last board meeting, we have the pleasure of presenting on everything that we're doing. So, and we're also going to be sharing our plethora of goals for the 1920 school year.
Thank you very much. And I just want to let the community members know that the Health and Safety Committee, the Wellness Committee, along with Curriculum Council and the other committees, are welcome to the community members. So if you would like to be more involved in any of the topics that we just went over, please consider joining one of these committees. As you can see, input from the community is very important to us, and we take it to heart and want to hear what you have to say and any input you have to give. I'm now going to go ahead, Dr.
You know, I see a bunch of, and we mentioned with wellness, the nurses here this evening, and I know we appointed one nurse. I just didn't know if the nurse was here this evening. Okay, so I didn't want to miss congratulating her this evening. Okay, thanks.
Before we move on to the last visitor section, is there any future agenda items that the board would like to discuss? Dorothy?
One that I had mentioned before, but if we're moving towards a nine-period day, and even if we're not, one thought that I had is that, and I had mentioned it to Dr. Graham, is possibly having some type of course that's an SAT or ACT prep course that's during the day, so students can take it as an elective. Because when you go outside the district, when the students go outside the district to take those courses, it could be $500 or $1,000 to take them. I just thought it would be something maybe the administration can look at, whether it works or not, just to put forward.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to move on to the visitor section. Elizabeth Reamer. Thank you very much. Okay. And just make sure that the green light is on so everybody in the back can hear you. Thank you.
I'm Elizabeth Reimer. I'm a junior at CHM East, and I'm running for student government president currently, and I'm here to discuss some of the ideas that students at my school have been interested in recently. So one main idea is switching from styrofoam lunch trays to biodegradable lunch trays. Recently, there's been a large environmentally friendly movement across the country, and particularly in our school, we've been really interested in this. So one really big problem is the use of styrofoam. It has been ending up in landfills. It takes 500 years to break down, and it never truly biodegrades, and it could still be around a million years later. And a lot of this has ended up in the ocean and has been ingested by many marine animals and can be lethal to them. So the styrofoam lunch trays that we use typically cost 4 cents per tray, but biodegradable ones cost approximately 11 cents. Making the switch would be 7 cents more per tray, which in total for the district would be a lot of money. But if you added 7 cents to each student's lunch price per meal, it wouldn't be as much. It would cost about $12.60 per year if a student bought lunch every day. And also, other schools across the country have switched to using a biodegradable tray once a year on days such as Foamless Fridays, and that would only add about $2.80 a year to a student's total lunch tray cost. So it really wouldn't be as big of a price increase as it seems like. And it would be really helpful for the environment and a big step into making SACHM a more environmentally friendly district. Another idea is adding more options for levels of classes. If possible, for the school year 2020 to 2021 and in the future, there are some classes that only have a Regents and AP option, such as Global History and U.S. History, which students, some of them feel too, like, they would be held back by a Regents class, but an AP class would be too challenging for them. And having an honors option for those classes would be a better fit for students so they don't feel like whichever class they choose would be not a good fit for them. And our last idea is adding free feminine products in the SACHM North and East girls and gender-neutral bathrooms. because a lot of places across the country have been making this change, and it would just make it a more friendly environment. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your suggestions, Dr. Graham.
Yeah, thank you, Elizabeth. How's the campaign going?
Pretty good, I guess. That's good?
Okay. When is the election?
They started this week.
Okay. So you've given us a lot of information. Clearly, you've done your homework here. So if you don't mind, we're going to do a little bit of looking into each of the items that you listed, and I'll reach out to Mr. Antonetti. I have your phone number here as well, and we'll get back to you, and we can chat about some of the concerns. But we appreciate you bringing them to the table for us.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Dana Plainton.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dana Plainton, and I am the immediate past president for Sachem PTA Council and the chair of Sports Night. And the other night, I did a little bit of math and realized that this past Friday night was my 91st Sports Night. Having been involved for 24 years, we used to do it four times a year. Last year was only twice, this year once. After 91 Sports Nights, I am retiring from Sports Night. So as I finish out my the work that I've been doing, which I'm really, really proud of, and I'm going to get emotional because, you know, it's a labor of love. It is a tremendous amount of work. It is something that we just love, though. And you know what? We miss doing it four nights. I got to be honest. You know, my husband didn't see me any Friday night in March for many years. But this year was very successful. We continue to raise huge amounts of money. We raised $25,000, which allows us the opportunity to present 50 graduating seniors with $500 scholarships. So we are the group in town that gives out the most scholarships to Sachem students, which is pretty exciting. And that award ceremony will be on June 12th. So I invite you all to attend. I hope you'll be a part of it. A program like this does just not happen. It takes months and months of planning. And even when you're an old pro, it takes months and months of planning. My friends on Sachem PTA Council are unbelievable. They're amazing. Like I said, it's a labor of love for all of us. Kelly is here tonight. She and her team of students, they run the events on the field while, you know, I kind of assist Ken, you know, our expert MC. He did a great job again, and we really appreciate it. I can see how much you enjoy it, and I think that your enthusiasm really just comes out and is so clear to all those in attendance. It's a really nice opportunity for our community to connect with you on a different level rather than here where it's so formal, and I think that the families really like that, and I think that the staff on the field, the faculty members, really enjoy that as well. So thank you so much for your enthusiasm, for being there. For those of you on the Board of Education who attended this year, thank you very much. We have some expert judges, and we now have a new judge that we broke in, and I think it was pretty pain-free, and I hope that you and your son had a great time. We did put him to work. We also put Dr. Graham's children to work, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Dorothy and Meredith and Sarah. But aside from all of you and us, this event happens because every single member and group in this school district comes together and collaborates. It's really, the synergy is just unbelievable. The SETA pays for our tickets. They pay for the T-shirts. So, and all of our teachers are members of the SETA. We could not do this without our teachers. They are first and foremost who we need to thank. Our principals, who really support us, and the changes that we've made and really rally their staffs to attend, we thank them. PTAs in every building, They get out there, they push the event, they help us at the event. This year, because as Dr. Graham mentioned, we had to use our rain date, our attendance may not have been as booming as we expected. But with that said, the PTAs were out there, they helped us. Security, unbelievable. We had all 10 schools participating on one night. We utilized parking lots at Samoset, at Gate Lot, and at North. We assigned parking to East feeder schools on one side, North feeder schools on another, and security was unbelievable. They helped us in the parking lots. They helped us at our entrances and exits, and it ran like such a well-oiled machine and so appreciated. The same goes for SCADA facilities, gym at Buildings and Grounds. Anthony Falco volunteered his time to be our MC up in the booth and, you know, with our very sophisticated communication back and forth. He and I cell phone back and forth. Nick was our DJ last year.
I was actually going to say, I'm sorry I couldn't go this year.
Yes.
I didn't meet that day.
We did call him first before we called Anthony, actually, because, Nick, you were amazing last year, and we really had a good connection and communication. So I told Anthony how we did it, and he duplicated that this year. I just, you know, again, I from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for all the support. This event has been going on for over 35 years. I hope it goes on, you know, from now and, you know, to infinity and beyond. I'm going to be the grandma, which means I get to come and play, but I don't have to do any of the work. So I'm not going anywhere. But I just, for all these years, for all of your collaboration and your friendship and all that you've given to the community and to SACHM PTA Council, I want to thank you.
Thank you very much, Gaina. Sal Nicosia.
Good evening. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening on an issue that I find very important, and that is running for public office. People who run on a school board are public officials seeking to get the election approval of the people that they go to represent when they win. I was a little bit dismayed in this election that we had an unusual situation where 13 people ran for public office in this district. We weren't the only ones, so that may be a trend. And if it is, it places a greater responsibility on the people that are running to make sure that the people who are going to vote for you, and I congratulate Mr. Collins, my memory slips up because I haven't your name, sir? Okay, Mancusa? All right. Well, I'm going to get to know you too because I'll be coming to these meetings and I'll be interested. And this is what I want to say. When I ran for the library board for 15 years and got elected, I submitted a resume and a philosophy of what I would do as a member of that board. There were 5 members, 5 years. And when I ran for Congress, I did the same thing. I noticed that there were very few resumes handed out for these people. And I had the difficulty of trying to exercise my vote intelligently because I had nothing to go by. I find this very dismaying in a community that brags about the education of our children who become the citizens that vote, and many of them don't, because in the last meeting, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Kiernan, who was elected on his own and also with a party of 5. I want to suggest that we use the fine office of our district clerk. I think she deserves a hand for the work she does. How about that? Give her some recognition. I want to say that when people come here interested in running for public office, that they submit something beside the signatures and then print something that will help us to identify and make it mandatory. I would make it mandatory that if you're going to run for public office, come to these meetings before you run. Because I haven't seen some of the members of this board until they got elected. So I find that in a democracy, participation is an essential part of voting intelligently. And perhaps that's what dismays the people out there, the 70,000 people that live in this fine community, and we are an unusual community. We have 2 senators, four legislators called assemblymen, supervisors of the town of Islip, two congressmen. Can you imagine that? We got two congressmen, three. So you see, we have good representation, and certainly these people send you mail on election day and before to let you know who they are and what they're going to do. So I'm going to suggest that as a policy. That would have been something I would have suggested to the policy. I thought about that today. I said, you know, I want to know these people so that they do the job. And I want to get an okay. Do you agree to people back here that we should have that kind of process here? Yes or no? Anybody? Okay. So let's consider that. And I'll be very happy when I won't be able to come to these meetings anymore. But basically, for 63 years, I've lived in this community, and I've seen it grow, where people today are in all parts of the world. I just saw my son-in-law, who lives in New Hampshire. He has practiced chiropractic for 40 years, one of the top in the state of New Hampshire. If you look at the graduation of the people that come to this school, there's one right there. I know him for 25 years, Bill Coggins. I mean, let me face it. We got some very fine people in this community, and the people that are going to run for board should lay down a plan where they let us know when they're running that you have a form there. It is suggested. You can't tell people what to do, but you can suggest because a lot of people don't know. That.
Sal, I think this is a great idea, and we actually had it prior to this some discussion that we're going to discuss with Chris Clayton or
Oh, you're not jumped the gun?
Just a little bit, but just so because all candidates have to fill out the form that goes in Newsday that answers the questions, but some people don't get Newsday or there's a charge for it. So I would like to have us do something where they fill out some type of resume that we can put on our Sachem website to get to know people. I mean, when I ran 4 years ago, I walked probably 1,000 miles knocking door to door and made sure I met everybody practically in the community to get elected.
All right.
But
that
might not happen now, or candidates might do that, but I think that the public needs to know who they're voting for. So I 100% agree with you, and we've already are going to discuss it with legal counsel.
I thank you for the time you gave me.
Thank
God bless
you so much. Thank you, Sal. Okay. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to make a motion to go into executive session for potential litigation matters relating to a particular student and collective negotiations. May I please have a motion, Dorothy? Second, Bill. Thank you, everybody, and congratulations to the new teachers and tenured teachers. We're so excited.